The scripture reading this evening is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 1, the first 8 verses. It's on page 1156 in your pew Bible. This book of Acts, of course, was written, as you know, by Dr. Luke. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, and now he writes his second volume, which is Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. And he writes this to his Greek friend, whose name is Theophilus. This is a very beautiful letter, and it gives us the history of the Christian church from its beginning at Pentecost onto the way it concludes with the gospel to Rome. It's a marvelous story of the early church. It's very fascinating, the book of Acts. We're going to look at the first 8 verses. It is a statement of the Holy Spirit's program. Listen to the scripture as I read from Acts 1:1-8. In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up. After that, he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So far the reading of the Word of God. Before we open this truth of God, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for the great work of Christ, our Lord and Savior, and how Luke described all that Jesus began to do and to teach in the Gospel of Luke, and now in his second volume, he writes about all that Jesus continues to do and to teach, even to this very day. Dear Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Grant the anointing of your Spirit, and that we may know your presence and power in the proclamation of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Dear friends, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, Pentecost is truly a significant day. It's the beginning of the New Testament church as we saw this morning. Jesus in this passage of Scripture is really saying farewell to his disciples. And he is telling them that they've got work to do. But his disciples don't quite understand that. The disciples look at the work of Christ. They look at life from a uniquely Jewish perspective. They are Galileans, they're Jewish men, and naturally they look at life from their own perspective. And so they are filled with somewhat of a question in their minds. There is a question, a serious question that they have to have answered. They cannot go on until this question is answered. And so we're going to look at their question at Jesus' answer, at Jesus' promise, and at Jesus' mandate. And in all of that, we see the program of the Holy Spirit. So first of all, what's the question that bothers these disciples? What's the question that really burns in their hearts? This is the question. Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Now that sounds like kind of a natural question, but it's not really. And yet it is a natural question for the Jewish people. A natural question for the disciples. It was a question in a way that the wayfarers to Emmaus had too. Because as you recall, on the Easter afternoon, they were walking toward the town of Emmaus, and Jesus joins them, and Jesus says, "Why are you so sad?" Because they are dejected. And Jesus says, "What's bothering you?" And they said, "Are you a stranger in Jerusalem and don't know what's going on?" Jesus said, "What things?" And they said, "Well, Jesus of Nazareth. And we had hoped that he would be the one to restore the kingdom to Israel. And now our leaders, mind you, our leaders, they crucified him. We don't understand. It doesn't make any sense to us. And now it's the third day, and there's some report that he is alive, but we didn't see him." It's the same attitude, really, that these disciples have right now. Are you going to, at this time, restore the kingdom to Israel? These disciples had a uniquely Jewish view of reality. They had been instructed by the Old Testament, which is a very good source of instruction. And they read in the Old Testament, like in Isaiah 35, that then the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. They looked forward to this, and they thought, now are you going to bring this into reality now? Is that day here now? Now that you have died upon the cross and have arisen gloriously from the dead, are you going to bring that great kingdom into reality now? And you know how Isaiah 11 says it. The lion will lay down with the lamb, and a young child shall play at the hole of an asp, and there will be no injury, no hurting in all my holy mountain, and the earth will be covered with the knowledge of God. Is that now going to happen? That was the burning question that they had. There are a number of passages in the Old Testament that talk about the flourishing of the kingdom of God. It's going to be a great and a wonderful day. And everyone will know the Lord. And it's going to be a great day. Psalm 72, Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest region shall his empire be. Ever and forever shall his name endure. Long as suns continue, it shall stand secure. Is that day now coming, Lord? Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That was their concern. It would be a great thing if you would bring that all into reality now. That was their concern. They wanted that desperately. They wanted Jesus to have dominion over this whole earth. They said, are you going to at this time do that? They knew what the Old Testament said. Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and they that dwell therein. Lord, it's all yours. Are you going to bring about a great change now? Are you going to remove all pain and suffering and death? You're going to end that all. Because in the Old Testament, that's what it says. There's going to be a time when they will learn war no more. And they'll change their swords into plowshares. And there'll be a new day. It's going to be a wonderful day. and everyone will love God, and everyone will worship, and everything will be just wonderful. Lord, is that coming now? Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? That was their view of the kingdom of God. And that's a legitimate view. And that's going to come someday. We know that. We know that there's going to be a day coming when Jesus will return. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And there will be a new day. A wonderful day. And all sin and evil will be gone and done forever. And death will be no more. And all the graves of those who've died will be opened, and those who have followed Jesus will receive the wonderful joy of coming into an eternal relationship with the Lord. And so these disciples are saying, Lord, are you going to do that now? We're looking forward to that. We can't wait. Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? So that's a question of the disciples. And it is a uniquely Jewish question. And it's a question about the last things. It's what we would call an eschatological question. It's a question about the second coming, which we know to be when Jesus returns. But they were thinking, is that going to happen now? Well, that's a very good question. There were some problems with that question, actually. Jesus corrects them. The first problem was a myopia. It was too narrow. Are you going to, at this time, restore the kingdom to Israel? They were very much in favor of Israel. They wanted Israel to be the center of the entire world. Are you going to do that now? So that was one thing, and Jonah had the same opinion. Jonah did not want to see the Ninevites converted and brought to the Lord. He did not want to see that. He wanted to see Israel to be the number one country in the world, to have total control. That's what he wanted. And the disciples had kind of that same idea. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Another problem that the disciples had and that Jesus corrected is a passivity. That is, are you going to do this, Lord? Are you going to do this? Jesus, in answers to them, says, no, but you, not me, but you. They said, Lord, are you going to bring about this great day of Israel? Jesus says, no, but you. The responsibility is going to be on you. And you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. So Jesus said, no, it's not that you're just going to sit back and let this all happen by me. You're going to have power. I'm going to give you power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And this great work of spreading the gospel and bringing in the kingdom is going to be your work. And I'm going to give you power. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. The kingdom is going to come through the power of the Holy Spirit in your lives. You're going to be an agent. You're going to be a minister. You're going to be a representative of my power. That's why Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come. And what does that mean? Lord, so rule me and control me and use me that I may and all of your people know the joy of the Lord and the power of the gospel to spread the gospel throughout the ends of the earth. It's that way, through the spread of the gospel, that the kingdom of God is going to come. It's through the gospel, through the power of the Holy Spirit, through the agency of human beings. God could do it by angels, but he has chosen to do it through people. ordinary people. These disciples were ordinary fishermen. They were not really that special. I mean, they were not intellectuals, they were not trained, they were not great businessmen. They were just ordinary people. But the Lord says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You're going to have the task. You're going to have the noble task. You're going to have the wonderful opportunity to spread the gospel. And it's the gospel used by the Holy Spirit that's going to bring about the kingdom of God. You're going to bring it about. You're going to lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. One by one, individuals like, for example, Lydia, a seller of purple, a businesswoman from the city of Thyatira, heard Paul preach, whose heart the Lord opened to give heed to the things spoken by Paul. Now listen, she was an example of how the kingdom of God is going to come. It's by individuals coming to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ through the proclamation of the gospel. The Bible, the Christ by His Spirit, changes people one by one. Here we have Rahi and Lily from our church who are working in the Farsi language. And they are bringing this news of Jesus Christ by way of the internet to the Farsi-speaking people in the Middle East. And you know examples, and so do I, of ordinary people who are equipped with the gospel, who have the Spirit in their heart, who are equipped with the Word of God and who are bringing that Word. And one by one by one, the Lord is changing people. An elder of one of the churches I served called me this afternoon. And he said, you know that young couple that you had been working with? I said, yeah. And I thought that nothing was going to come of it. I thought they were just not interested in the things of the Lord. That's what I thought. But every week I helped them, I taught them the Bible, the catechism. This elder called me today and said, do you know that on the 11th of June, that's next Sunday, they're both making profession of faith and their baby is going to be baptized in a Reformed church around here? It's the way the Lord does it. One sows, another waters. But it's the Lord that gives the increase. Don't worry, your work is not in vain. The Bible says, as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven doesn't return, but waters the earth to make it bring forth and bud, to give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return void, but it will accomplish what I purpose and it will prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So don't worry, you're not on a fool's errand. You shall receive power, says Jesus to these disciples. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And did they ever receive power? Peter, who had been pretty blustery, and there during the trial he denied Jesus, Peter, on the day of Pentecost, stands up and boldly proclaims the gospel, and he says to his audience, you are the ones that crucified him. Can you imagine the change that came about in that man's life? And the people, they heard him, and they were pricking their hearts, and they said, what must we do to be saved? What must we do? And Peter said, repent. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful gospel, and what a change on the part of Peter. And that is exactly what Jesus is talking about here. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you see that phrase, come upon you. It's the same phrase that is used of creation. that the Holy Spirit came upon that mass of earth and sea and impregnated it with life. It's the same phrase that the angel used to Mary. The Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you, so that the holy thing that is born of you shall be called the Son of God. It's the same thing. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that's what happened in the early church. Those disciples were changed, and they were renewed. They were born again. They were born from above, and they carried the gospel all over the then known world. You will see, if you go to India and in Madras, you will see the tomb of Thomas, the doubting Thomas. He went all the way to India to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of the Lord came upon him, and it came upon all of these disciples, and indeed it came upon the whole church. The power of the gospel. As a matter of fact, you read in Acts chapter 8 that after the death of Stephen, where Stephen was martyred, was stoned, and that all those who threw stones at him threw their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul of Tarsus. And then you read about a persecution that broke out in the early church, and that all the believers were scattered. And do you know what it says? All those who were scattered went about teaching and preaching the Word of God. You see, persecution cannot keep the power down. That power is greater than any opposition. It is, in fact, the word power here, you shall receive power. The Greek word is dunamis, from which the word dynamite comes from. That's the power of the gospel. It changes people's lives. Now you know very well that a man like Saul of Tarsus, who was threatening slaughter against the church, that as he was going to Damascus, the Lord himself stopped him, threw him off the horse he was riding, and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul says, who are you, Lord? He says, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Saul of Tarsus was changed into a mighty preacher of the gospel. And he went throughout the then known world. He experienced beatings, imprisonment, shipwreck. He was going everywhere in the power of the Lord. It was this power that Jesus is talking about. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and nothing will be able to stop you. Nothing. Paul says we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. If God be for us, who can be against us? The power of the Lord is there. It is in us and through us, and he will have his work done. And so that's the promise that Jesus gives them. And then he gives them a tremendous mandate. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. You're going to be my witnesses. That's how the kingdom is going to come. That's the connection between the kingdom and the church. The church is the powerhouse of the kingdom of God. The church is the means by which the kingdom of God will come. And so the church is a mighty army. Moves the church of God. The church is the body of Christ Jesus, in whom the Spirit makes his dwelling. The church is the body of Christ, gathered out of the whole human race by his Spirit and Word, in the unity of true faith, of which I am and you are a living member. That's how the Lord brings about his kingdom. It's through the power of the Spirit and the truth in his church. And so notice, if you start in Jerusalem and then Judea and Samaria and on to the uttermost parts of the earth,
The spread of the gospel is to go all over. It's to go everywhere. So this morning we prayed for Nellie Voss. There she is in France. She's carrying on this work. And we have missionaries in Nigeria. We have missionaries in Taiwan, in China. There are Christians in Russia, in Cuba. There are Christians on college campuses in the United States. There's Christians up in Canada. There they all are. The children of God are spread throughout the whole world. It is a marvelous thing. And you've experienced it as you travel and you worship at a church on your vacation. And you find you don't know these folks, but here you share the same faith. And you sing the great songs of faith. And you pray to the same Father in heaven. And you love the same Savior. And you experience the same power of the Spirit. And here we are. The world is the harvest field. And He has His people everywhere. The gospel is like a powerful magnet. It's like a powerful magnet. And that magnet, by the church is the means by which the Lord brings His word. And that word goes forth and it just draws His people. You know how Jesus says it? My Father who sent me will draw you. Draw you. The drawing power of the gospel is compared to magnetism. In fact, it's used for magnetism in the classical Greek language. It's used of magnetism, the word draw. That's what happens. The Lord is drawing His people from every nation, every tribe, every language. You know, in the story of the Old Testament, right after the flood, there was an attempt by the people to say, we don't want to be scattered. We don't ever want to be scattered. So they built a Tower of Babel. And they said, we're going to build our own tower to heaven. We'll get there. And the Lord saw from heaven what they were doing, and He confused their language so that they couldn't understand each other. And the whole effort came to naught. But here on the day of Pentecost, you see Babel reversed. Babel was reversed. There were all kinds of languages spoken by those filled with the Holy Spirit on that great day of Pentecost. There were a lot of different languages. But all the languages were saying the same message. The same message. And that's exactly what happens today. You have the Bible translated into all kinds of different languages. Those languages you don't understand, neither do I. They're very different, very strange. Some go from right to left, others from left to right. Some go from top to bottom, others from bottom to top. It's all mixed up. But the Word of God is the same message in all those different languages. That's a fulfillment of the mandate of the program of the Holy Spirit. The Lord is going to draw His people from everywhere. That's how the kingdom is going to come. So that's really the answer to the disciples' question. Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus said, it's not for you to know the times and seasons the Father has in His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so we can say Christ shall have dominion over land and sea. Earth's remotest region shall His empire be. Ever and forever shall His name endure. Long as suns continue, it shall stand secure. We're part of that. You are. I am. The youngest ones here are part of it too. We all have that mandate. We are all to testify to Jesus Christ by word and deed. Your life and my life is to show that we belong, not to ourselves, but we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's ours. Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of Thy tone As thou hast sought, so help me seek thy erring children lost and lone. That's what our job is. As the Apostle Paul says, we are ambassadors on this earth to represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords in whatever we do. Whatever we do, small or great. Oh, use me, Lord, use even me, just as thou wilt and when and where, until thy blessed face I see, thy rest, thy joy, thy glory share. And everyone said, amen. Lord, bless this word unto our hearts today. We thank you for the program of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, guide us and lead us. Help us. May we truly be your witnesses. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.